You know that feeling, right? Where you're somewhere new, maybe on holiday, maybe you've even moved there. You're sitting at a table in a taverna, you're physically there, but there is this sort of invisible wall. And all around you, there's this easy, flowing conversation happening, and you're just watching it. You feel like a witness, not a participant.
It's the huge difference between being able to, say, order your food and truly feeling at home.
Exactly.
That sense of belonging, it doesn't come from just memorizing words. It comes from being able to connect, without that constant anxiety.
Without having to translate every single thought in your head.
Right.
Well, that feeling, that sense of deep belonging, that is our mission for this deep dive. We're looking at some source material that focuses specifically on the Greek language, and I think more importantly, that crucial link between learning the language and really integrating into the culture.
And we're going to unpack why so many people, expats, heritage speakers, even just regular visitors, they get stuck. They get
Yeah.
stuck in this sort of linguistic limbo.
And what the path is to finally bridge that gap.
Our sources for this come from Chrysophenia Partalidou. We'll just call her Phenia. She's the creator of a program called Speak Greek, Connect, Belong.
Yeah.
And her whole approach really stands out because she treats language as a doorway to a civilization, not just a list of verbs to conjugate.
That makes a lot of sense when you look at her background. It's not typical for a language coach. Can you tell us a bit about what makes her expertise so unique?
Well, she has this combination of qualifications you just don't see together. She's an MA archaeologist, an MSc in cultural management, and a philologist.
Wow.
Yeah, with over a decade of teaching experience. So that mix lets her weave together language, culture, and education in a really special way. Her focus is on helping students understand Greek civilization itself, the history, the humor, the social norms. The goal is for them to feel completely comfortable, actually living in Greece.
Okay, so let's unpack that then. If her background is in culture and archaeology, the core idea here must be that learning Greek isn't just about grammar.
Not at all.
It's more like a strategic tool for social integration. It's the price of admission to the community, in a way.
Absolutely. The goals she sets out for learners aren't academic. They're life goals. It's not about scoring well on some test.
Yeah.
It's about that moment when you introduce yourself without any hesitation. Or you confidently join a conversation at work. Or, and this is a big one, you finally get that local joke that makes everyone else laugh. The goal is belonging. And that's a feeling, not a piece of paper.
The sources have some really powerful testimonials that show just how painful that separation feels when you haven't made that leap. It paints this picture of daily life just being filled with stress and constant
It's
dependence.
a constant weight. I mean, think about the story of Martin, an expat in Thessaloniki. Before he found this kind of focused approach, he said he felt like he was only halfway living in Greece because he had to rely on English for anything important.
That dependence creates a barrier, doesn't it? You can never feel fully autonomous.
Never. And it's not always just linguistic dependence. Sometimes it's this acute anxiety over really simple daily tasks.
Yeah, the sources mention Elena in Athens.
Right, Elena. She described feeling extreme stress in situations most of us wouldn't even think about. Going to the doctor, talking to a clerk at the supermarket, trying to explain something to a handyman.
When you can't explain your basic needs, your whole day becomes an obstacle course.
An exhausting one. But I think the most poignant story was Maria, a heritage speaker from the U.S.
The tourist in her own roots.
Exactly. She used that phrase. She had the family, the connection, but the language barrier made her feel totally detached from her own history. It was like a loss of identity for her.
Okay, so that's the struggle. It's very real. But this is where the sources get really interesting. They highlight this immediate payoff when that gap is bridged, the aha moment.
And you see the transformation almost instantly. Martin, the guy who relied on English for everything,
Yeah.
he now says he can chat easily with his colleagues, and more importantly, he can genuinely joke with them.
And that's the real marker of connection, isn't it? Shared humor.
It's everything. He went from just professional transactions to real social engagement.
And what about Elena, the one with the daily stress?
Gone. She says people just, they understand her now. And that feeling of being understood makes her feel, in her words, more calm every day.
That's not just learning a language, that's a huge improvement in your quality of life.
It's life-changing. And for Maria, the heritage speaker, it was like a homecoming. She could finally talk to her cousins without a filter, understand the lyrics in Greek songs, feel connected.
Reconnecting to her identity.
That's probably the most powerful form of belonging this whole approach delivers.
So if we step back a bit, what this is all saying is that the real problem isn't just the language barrier. It's the cultural barrier that stops a language from even working properly.
Exactly right. That slogan, speak Greek, connect, belong. It frames the hierarchy perfectly. You speak so you can connect, and it's only through connection that you truly belong. Mm. The sources get into these very specific practical scenarios that just, they completely transform the experience of being in Greece.
Right. We're talking about going from just being able to ask for directions to what?
Yeah.
Understanding the complicated answer you get back with all the gestures and shortcuts.
Yes. Or handling complex things like banking or dealing with bureaucracy without that knot in your stomach. Those are the functional gains.
But the real transformation is the cultural one.
That's the one we're emphasizing. Is sitting at a family dinner or laughing with total strangers at a taverna because you actually get the jokes.
Yeah.
You get the subtle context. That cultural fluency is the lubricant for real integration.
And since Finja's background is so deep in cultural management, the sources are very explicit that belonging requires this cultural literacy that, you know, you just can't get from a textbook.
This is so crucial. Most apps or big classes, they totally ignore the nonverbal stuff. Cultural literacy means understanding the gestures.
Which are a language in themselves in Greece.
A very complex one. And understanding the specific type of Greek humor, and maybe most importantly, all the unwritten rules of communication. Mm. You know, how to navigate certain requests or when silence is appropriate.
Okay, but let's be real. Can you actually teach that? I mean, humor is so deeply tied to context and social history. How do you coach someone to get a cultural joke?
That's a great question. You don't teach the joke itself. You can't. What you teach is the context that informs the humor.
Ah, okay.
By focusing on Greek civilization and history, and that's where her archaeology background is so key, you teach students to recognize the social cues, the common references, the conversational patterns that lead to that shared laughter.
So you're building a reference library in their mind.
You're giving them the social map, not just the dictionary. And that's what turns a conversation from a simple exchange of words into a real meaningful connection.
That makes perfect sense. And it sounds like this whole tailored approach is designed to catch the people who've, you know, fallen through the cracks of more generic methods.
Precisely. The audience is very clear. It's expats and professionals who need smooth communication. It's holiday regulars who are tired of just being tourists.
It's the heritage speakers trying to bridge that identity gap.
Right, and even just culture lovers who want to watch Greek films or listen to music without subtitles, without that filter. They all want depth, not just surface level stuff.
So if this desire for deep connection is so universal, why do so many learners, especially busy adults, struggle and eventually just quit? The source material is pretty critical of the common methods.
And that critique is necessary because those traditional methods don't prioritize real-world use. Think about apps. They lead to memorizing thousands of flashcards.
But you freeze up the second a real person asks you an unscripted question.
Exactly. And big group classes. The shy students just stay quiet. Their anxiety is never addressed, so they progress incredibly slowly.
And self-study is just so hard to maintain.
It's almost always inconsistent. There's no accountability, no personalized feedback. These methods fail because they treat language like it's just data to be downloaded, not a social practice.
This brings us to a really key concept that Finja highlights in the material, the need for a psychological shift. It's not about the words you know. It's about conquering the fear of speaking. And they do this with something called confidence coaching.
And what's so fascinating about this is that the coaching starts by acknowledging that learning a language is a vulnerable process. You have to be willing to make mistakes to get better.
There's no other way.
So the personalized one-on-one coaching creates this unique, safe space. It's an environment designed to normalize errors, to see them as data points for growth, not failures to be judged.
But what does that safe space actually look like? Are we talking about role-playing common high-stress situations? How do you coach confidence?
That's it, exactly. It involves highly customized role playing. Instead of practicing dialogues from a book, you simulate the very scenarios that give you anxiety.
Like trying to argue a bill over the phone.
Or asking your landlord a complicated question. Or having a nuanced conversation with an in-law. By rehearsing these things with a coach who can immediately guide and reassure you, you build a kind of muscle memory for communication before you face the real thing. It tackles the fear head on.
Which would have to be paired with the second critical piece, the cognitive shift. Moving away from translating every single word in your head and starting to actually think in Greek.
Because that's the bottleneck, right? If you're always translating, your brain is working overtime. It's exhausting.
you can never keep up with a real conversation.
Never. So the program's goal is to short-circuit that internal monologue. They shift the focus away from abstract grammar rules, you know, big scary charts and tables, and onto using real-life Greek from day one.
So it's less memorize the subjunctive mood and more here is the exact phrase you need when you're dealing with a plumber.
Precisely. The complex grammar is broken down into these tiny, digestible grammar bites, and they're immediately applied to real-world scenarios. This conversational focus forces your brain to stop translating and start connecting the Greek phrase directly with the action or the concept.
And it's designed to fit into a busy life, which is key.
Right. So professionals, parents, they can stay consistent without getting overwhelmed by theory. It prioritizes immediate communication, which forces the brain to rewire itself.
But we should be clear, the sources are very upfront that this isn't some quick fix or a learn Greek in a weekend kind of promise.
Not at all. The structure of the program itself, requiring a firm 5-month or even a 10-month commitment, it's all about consistency. That cognitive and cultural shift, it needs dedicated time to solidify.
And that structure is what guarantees the consistency. It's dedication meeting a personalized plan.
A plan made feasible by its flexibility. You have personalized online lessons. You choose how often you meet. You get feedback both live and over email. Everything is tailored to keep you going for the long haul.
So let's bring this all back to you, the listener. If you're out there maybe reconnecting with your heritage or finally making that move to Athens and you're fighting that invisible wall, what's the key takeaway from Fenya's approach?
I think the central thesis is just undeniable. True fluency, real belonging in Greece, it's not defined by a perfect score on a grammar exam.
Right.
It's defined by having the psychological confidence to just engage. It's about understanding the cultural nuances, the humor, the social rules, and getting to that powerful, stress-free feeling of integration where you're just not a tourist anymore.
It's the difference between visiting a country and actually building a life there.
It is. And that raises a final, maybe provocative thought for you to consider as we wrap up. If language is the lens we use to see reality, what profound aspects of Greek culture, its specific humor, its subtle history, its daily emotional life, what parts of that reality are currently invisible to you?
Invisible because you haven't yet mastered the confidence to speak, connect, and truly belong.
What world opens up when you finally decide to take that step?